judges on the Wisconsin Supreme Court expressed mixed opinions after hearing arguments in a redistricting lawsuit. It's Wednesday, November 22nd, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the legislature's GOP-controlled Finance Committee is withholding gaming funds from two tribes. The tribe leaders say they're being discriminated against. Danielle Kading will have more on the situation. And in our state, you're never too far away from hearing a tuba. You ever notice that? In today's Wisconsin Life, a listener wanted to know why that was. Stay with us.
You tune in every weekday for your dose of local news on Wisconsin Today. You enjoy headlines with context as well as a longer story. This news is community supported. Join in with your gift at wpr.org/givewi today.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court heard arguments yesterday in a redistricting lawsuit that could shift the state's political power. As Rich Kramer reports, conservative justices had sharp questions for attorneys hoping to overturn Republican-drawn legislative maps, which the court endorsed just last year.
Almost immediately after the attorney representing Democrats in Wisconsin's redistricting case started speaking to the court, conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley interrupted. She asked why Democrats waited until now to file this case.
Everybody knows that the reason we're here is because there was a change in the membership of the court. You would not have brought this action, right, if the newest justice had lost her election.
Bradley was referencing the spring election of Justice Janet Protasiewicz, who gave liberals a majority on the court for the first time in 15 years. Conservatives also criticized the case's claims that the current maps violate the state constitution's separation of powers and contiguity requirements, but liberals on the court asked questions about how they would redraw voting districts if the court overturns the maps. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A man accused of firebombing the Madison office of an anti-abortion advocacy group has agreed to plead guilty. Attorneys filed the proposed plea agreement in federal court this week on behalf of 30-year-old Hirandindu Rochowdhury. He's agreed to plead guilty to one count of damaging property with explosives. The charge carries a penalty of up to 20 years in prison. Rochowdhury was arrested in Boston this year after police discovered Molotov cocktails burning at the vandalized headquarters of Wisconsin Family Action in May of 2022. That was a few days after a draft opinion leaked showing the U.S. Supreme Court's plans to overturn nationwide abortion rights established through Roe v. Wade. The legislature's GOP-controlled Finance Committee is withholding tribal gaming funds from two tribes. Danielle Kading reports that lawmakers won't release the money because of disputes tied to tribal sovereignty.
The Department of Administration asked the Joint Committee on Finance to transfer $11 million to Wisconsin's 11 tribes. The committee later voted to award $1 million to all but the Lac des Flambeaux and Bad River bands of Lake Superior Chippewa. The tribe's leaders say lawmakers discriminated against them by withholding the money. Governor Tony Evers urged the committee to release the funds, but the group's GOP co-chairs, Senator Howard Markline and Representative Mark Bourne, say their decision stems from the tribe's actions. They pointed to a dispute over access to homes for non-tribal residents on the Lac des Flambeaux Reservation. They also appeared to reference a court ruling that found the state couldn't tax tribal properties on the Bad River Reservation, among others. They say that caused property taxes to skyrocket for remaining residents. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Food pantries across the state are noticing an increase in demand. More people are seeking aid since pandemic relief expired earlier this year, while grocery prices still remain pretty high. Kinship Community Food Center is a food pantry in Milwaukee. Amanda Ferendorf is with the center. She says the number of new families coming for help has increased 160% since March of 2022.
They're constantly chasing and racing to make ends meet, working multiple jobs, taking care of other family members who are also not doing well. All of their resources are very limited.
Volunteers and donations tend to spike during the holidays, but by February, that help usually peters out. Food pantries around the state now are working to convince seasonal volunteers to make a year-round commitment. Coming up, whether it's polka music at a beer garden or at a Wisconsin football game, you'll always find, or hear, a tuba in the distance. In today's Wisconsin Life, we'll learn why the instrument is so popular in our state. Stay with us.
Gardening in Wisconsin is a year-round job, and Garden Talk is here for you throughout every season. We help you battle relentless pests and pick your favorite mulch. We also cover how to care for houseplants and successful methods for starting seeds inside. We want to know what keeps your garden growing. Join me, Larry Mueller, for Garden Talk on the Ideas Network, Fridays at 11 and Saturday mornings at 6, or online anytime.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about a bombastic instrument making its way across UW's campus.
We recently received a question from Elizabeth Renner of Madison. She asked us, through WPR's Wisconsin Project, why are tubas such a prominent part of the UW-Madison band? And why are they so popular in Wisconsin? WPR's Tim Peterson marched right down to the Madison campus to get some answers.
The tuba has a long and deep history in Wisconsin. In the mid-1800s, a lot of Germans immigrated to the area, bringing their music, their refreshments, and their instruments with them. That's according to John Stevens, a longtime tuba performer and composer in Wisconsin. He's also professor emeritus of music at UW-Madison.
The basic German culture of the state, I think, has a lot to do with it. Polka bands, bands and beer, if you will.
But the tuba and polka music really got oompa-pa-ing around the Civil War era. Military band music was popular, with big names in Wisconsin like the Broadhead Brass Band. Fast forward to today. The tuba is still very much alive and well, especially on UW's campus. Looking into the tuba questions made me want to know more about what it's like to be a tuba on Wisconsin football game days.
Before the game, we'll actually parade around the city and go to some of the different places on Regent Street and play right up close to the crowd there.
That's Gabe Kepke. He's a tuba player in the UW Marching Band. The iconic band dates back to 1885, just 2 decades after the end of the Civil War. It started as a military-style ensemble, a bit smaller than today's group. Another tuba player is Max Collins. He says the band has a protocol for how members are supposed to act in uniform. But as tubas,
we get to mess with people a little bit more. If we see fans in the opposing colors, we kind of just play at their face a little bit.
Then there's the pregame and halftime performances at Camp Randall.
We're so big, you can see the bell from anywhere in a stadium.
That's Joseph Klug, another UW tuba player.
I know other instruments, they have hats with massive plumes on them, and so you can clearly tell whenever they're looking around. For us, it's you can clearly tell if we're facing the wrong way.
Corey Pompey is the UW Marching Band Director and Associate Director of Bands at UW-Madison. He says the notes tubas play are the roots of every chord, the basslines that everything else the band plays are built on.
It's just an important sound, an important voice in the band that we just have to have.
During game day performances, the tubas assert themselves with a couple of additional antics. One of Kepke's favorites is when the tuba section builds a human pyramid. And in a tradition going back to the 1950s, the tubas famously embark on a march around the field during the second half.
We play a version of On Wisconsin, That's All Tuba. We also play a version of You Said It All, That's All Tuba. So when we're going around and playing the melody for people, it's like, it makes you feel like a star. It's awesome.
Pompey agrees. Pompey also says he enjoys just being around the tubas. They're fun. They tell jokes. They don't take things too seriously.
I should also note that it's an extremely hard-working group of people, and you have to be in order to carry that heavy instrument around for as long as they do.
And they just have a special bond. Collins says it's something he loves about being a UW tuba.
All 20 of us pretty regularly kind of hang out, so having that many people that you're just close to just because you are really makes it feel like you belong somewhere and really makes you feel like a part of something.
So keep an eye out for this pack of rhinos, as they call themselves, next game day, especially if you're not wearing cardinal red and white.
WPR's Tim Peterson brought us that piece on tubas in Wisconsin. And that story idea came through WPR's Wisconsin Project. Submit your question and we might answer it in a future story. Go to wpr.org/Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And that'll do it for Wisconsin Today. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Rob Menser and John Davis. As always, we're here in your podcast feed every single weekday morning, and yes, that does include tomorrow, so while you're getting the food ready, you can listen to a special episode of Wisconsin Today. That's it for today's show. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.